This is Jefferson Public Radio. I'm Eric Thiel. Welcome to another live session. Joining me today in the JPR studios, singer-songwriter and blues woman Ruthie Foster.
Oh, blues woman. Hey.
It is nice to finally meet you. Thanks for coming by and visiting with us.
Oh, thanks for having me, Eric. Appreciate the invitation.
The new record is called Promise of a Brand New Day. It is out on Blue Corn Music. Information at ruthiefoster.com. I want to start by saying congratulations. The Truth, According to Ruthie Foster, Let It Burn, and now The New One have all been nominated for Grammy Awards.
That's correct.
That's got to feel pretty good.
Yeah, it was pretty good the first time. It was oh boy, the second time, and then this last one was really, gosh, you guys really like this stuff. Yeah.
And the nominations for Grammys come up through the industry, right?
Yes, they do.
This is recognition from people who work in the music business.
Exactly.
So it's got to feel pretty good.
Yeah.
I found it interesting that for the second consecutive record, you didn't play.
Mm-hmm.
I find that interesting considering that everything that you see of Ruthie Foster online, it's always you and that guitar.
Right.
But you go into the studio and all you do is sing.
Right.
Why? Why'd you make that decision?
You know, it wasn't my decision the second time. The first time, that's Chris Goldsmith produced Truth. And it was really, it was a decision we both made. For the one we recorded in New Orleans, Let It Burn, that was something that was kind of a surprise to me, actually. I was all set to learn the tunes, and my producer told me on the phone before I got to New Orleans, no, baby, you're just going to sing. You should just sing and concentrate on what you do. And I enjoyed it. I really, truly did.
But what you do is play and sing.
Yeah, live I do, but it was nice to go into the studio and really concentrate on where I wanted to go vocally and not have to think about the instrument for a change. And that's what you hear on Let It Burn. You hear me channeling in people like Cassandra Wilson and Mavis. I got a chance to really think about where I wanted to go vocally because it was all recorded live, and these guys are they're sitting there with me and they're following me. So it starts with the vocals first, and that's what you're hearing on that particular record.
Is it ever a little disconcerting to be standing there without that sort of security blanket in your arms?
Not at all. No,
really?
No. I started out singing and playing piano as a young kid, and then singing a cappella all the time in churches and in assemblies throughout central part of Texas where I'm from. Mm. So yeah, singing without an instrument is not too terrifying to me.
Yeah. Ruthie Foster is my guest live today on Jefferson Public Radio. The new record is called Promise of a Brand New Day. RuthieFoster.com is the website to go if you'd like more information to learn about her and her music. Well, you have brought in a guitar for today.
Mm-hmm.
What do you want to do first for us?
I thought I'd do something off that new album, the song called Singing the Blues for you.
Great.
Trying to find a new home, trying to write a new song, trying to find a rhythm that'll help me. Oh, wanna get through it. Yeah, I keep singing the blues. Everybody's saying you gotta get away and go deal with the real stuff, but I don't know if it's gonna be true enough. I keep singing the blues. Oh, you know I'm just passing on, singing the same old songs. Sometimes it feels so right and I don't feel all alone, but when the music fades and the crowd drives away, I'm staring at a mirror. Yeah, I'm still singing the blues. Oh, I'm staring at the mirror. Yeah. Oh, I'm still singing the blues. Yeah, you know I can pop a little upbeat reggae and I can lift and appreciate, but I'd rather be high on. Woo! Yeah, I'm singing the blues. Yeah, yeah,
happen in and out of soul. Yes, even rock and roll. But a little Bobby Blue Bland never, never gets old and gotta realize. Yeah, I gotta hear me some blues. Yeah. Oh, you know I'm just passing on, singing the same old songs. Oh, sometimes it feels so right and I don't feel all alone. But when the music fades and the crowd drives away, I'm staring at the mirror. Yeah, I'm still singing the blues. Yeah, oh, staring at the mirror. The blues. I'm still singing the blues. Yeah. Oh, oh, singing the blues. Yes, I am. Yeah.
That is Ruthie Foster live here on Jefferson Public Radio, singing the blues. It is the lead-off track from the brand new record called Promise of a Brand New Day. Information on Ruthie and her music at ruthiefoster.com. Ruthie, just before the tune, you talked about singing as a kid. I understand you came from a family of gospel singers. Professional yeah. gospel singers or just folks that like to sing around the house?
Folks that like to sing around the house. Regionally, professional. I had a group of uncles, my grandmother's brothers, who sang at churches pretty much throughout central part of Texas. And on my dad's side, there are professional gospel singers on his side. I don't have all the names. They all sang in the Foster clan. But yeah, I grew up with a lot of church in the house. We had church from Wednesday pretty much through Sunday because it was all about choir practice and Sunday school and a lot of things that involve being out of the house between the house, my grandmother's, and church. So yeah, and my introduction to music was through gospel music, really.
I was going to ask if you have a specific childhood memory, you know, the day that music sort of crept into you and never left.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that would be sitting in the church listening to my uncle sing. I have an uncle, Sonny, who just passed this past summer, who was the singer in our family. And he actually preached for a while. But when he sang, that was something that we as kids would move from the back of the church and when we were all moved to the front. Because it was all about not just Uncle Sonny, our uncle is going to sing now. It was about what he did to the room. It changed the rhythm and the feel, the atmosphere in the room.
There are people that have that skill. You think specifically of opera singers where they know how to fill a hall with the sound of their voice.
Yeah. Not just volume wise, there's feeling in there and you could feel where he was coming from. And sometimes there'd be tears streaming, off of his face and he's just still singing his heart out.
I think today there are a lot of people that would say the same about your voice, filling a room.
Well, that's a huge compliment.
You worked in the Navy for a time.
I did, yeah.
How long were you in the service?
I was in for a full term, 4 years. I did it to get away from music for a little bit, just one step back. I just graduated music school in Waco, and I needed a break. I wanted to be able to have a conversation with somebody and not be about music. So I joined, and I worked at a helicopter squadron in San Diego, over in California, and I had a wonderful time, made new friends, and just got to mix and mingle with different cultures and foods. And
what was your particular task in that unit?
I went as a electronics mate, but I shifted to aviation storekeeper, which is kind of like a radar and like MASH. You basically keep up with the ordering parts and all of that, and I got pretty good at it actually.
So the bottom line is that anytime anything goes wrong with Ruthie Foster's on stage production, you can fix it.
I try not to get my nose in the middle of too much of everybody else's business, but I know what's what's going on usually. Now, I did that for a year, and then I shifted. It was too much like a real job. So I shifted. I had to shift back to music. And so I served the rest of my term in the Navy band. Mm. Now, I didn't just jump into the band. You have to audition for this band. It's very hard to get into the Navy band because you have to know how to read and read very well.
There are different kinds of military bands. There's the sort of, you know, marching band, the traditional formal thing, but there are also different kinds of bands that play, you know, various kinds of events that are jazz or rock or funk or blues or whatever.
Yes.
What
all
kind
of
a band did you end up in?
I did all of the above. Every band unit, there was seven at the time all over the world. And I was stationed in Charleston, South Carolina, and I was a vocalist for a top 40 funk group that went through all of the high schools, and we had to be good. We had dance steps, we had horns, because these kids will boo you off the stage if you are not good. And I was part of the big band, so I got a chance to learn a lot of the big band arrangements.
What did you play in big band?
I was a vocalist in a big band. Yeah, so Ella Fitzgerald was one of my favorites. Yeah. I listened a lot to Sarah Vaughan, Sinatra, you know, King of phrasing. These are people I studied, Nancy Wilson, and I still do enjoy big band and would love to do a big band album sometime. But yeah, I did that, and I played a little guitar, but I didn't want the Navy to know I played an instrument. I thought being able to sing was enough.
Wouldn't that have, if they had known, wouldn't that have moved you into something that was less like a real job?
Yes, exactly. I would be that person that got called to the Admiral's dinner parties.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Ruthie Foster is my guest today live here on Jefferson Public Radio. Her new record is called Promise of a Brand New Day. RuthieFoster.com is the website. Will you play another for us?
Of course. I thought I'd bring up a little Johnny Cash in here, a little Ring of Fire. Let it burn.
Let it burn, let it burn.
That is Ruthie Foster live here today on Jefferson Public Radio. Her new record is called Promise of a Brand New Day. I've got to say, watching you perform is sort of pure joy.
Aww.
I mean, not only is the music beautiful, not only is your voice beautiful, but you project joy in what you do as you perform.
Thank you.
It's marvelous to watch. You said once that for this new record, you wanted to do songs, and this is a quote, but it might also be a bit of a paraphrase because I'm rereading this, but you had said that you wanted to do songs that have more to do with the things that should be brought up.
Mm-hmm.
What do you mean by that exactly?
Well, there's a song on there that Michelle and I put together. We found that
And Michelle is?
Michelle Indeguicello, the great producer, bass player extraordinaire. She's just an all-around beautiful person, great spirit to be around. You're talking about pure joy when they play. That's what she is. Plus, she can be, it's intense too, but the intense is what she actually helped me get to with my music. And we did a song it's a blues song, and it's called Second Time, and what it is a social song that talks about how they killed Martin Luther King, but you can't kill the spirit of the civil rights movement. And it goes on to talk about several other things. And we really wanted to put songs like that in there, at least one or two, because I have Traveling Shoes. I have songs from my other CDs that are about just real things. There's a song that I wrote with William Bell on this record. I'll call it Might Not Be Right for the World, but it's all right for this girl. It's basically about equal rights, you know, and marriage, for gay marriage and all that. And I really wanted to bring these things to the forefront because these are things that I'm dealing with and people that come to my shows are dealing with. So those are some of just the little tip of the iceberg of some of the things we wanted to put in this record.
You have also talked about wanting to write a little bit more from the perspective of Ruthie Foster, whereas songs on some of the earlier albums were maybe you writing from a distance?
Well, they were songs that I just really wanted to be in my shows. I wanted to, what you just saw, I wanted to portray joy. I wanted to entertain. You know, people pay money to come see my shows, and I want them to feel like they can forget all of that stuff they walked in with and just experience what live music can do to you and for you. But now I'm talking a little bit more about my own experiences, and I think that's what makes a difference. And I notice there's a different kind of connection that's going on with my crowd now that come out, and it's kind of nice. It's scary, you know, to show that much, to, you know, start peeling off your own layers and putting it out there.
Well, and now that you've been doing this for a while, you have more stories.
Yeah, right? Exactly. Yeah. I have more to say, more to tell, the more I see.
Ruthie Foster is my guest today live on Jefferson Public Radio. Let's talk a little bit about Michelle Indeguicello producing this record. What did she bring to you and to that process that your other albums, you know, didn't have? I think, talked about her intensity of being in that studio.
And that's a huge part of it, really.
And you can hear that in her music.
Yeah.
You know, her stuff is pretty intense and at times very edgy.
Uh-huh. And I thought that's what I wanted. But once we got in front of each other, we agreed that what we both wanted was to put my voice more up front. And that's not just sonically, but really pushing. And when she was very good about catching me when I'm tired, when I was in the studio, but pushing me to a point where, you know, I'm putting everything I have into this song. We even had different types of microphones that we played around with that was really catching everything. It's kind of scary to listen to that, you know, actually hear myself swallow. That was a huge, huge deal. And it was just about being more personable with the song. She had me writing more. A lot of the tunes I wrote more on this record.
Hmm. I'm really glad that you brought up the microphone thing, because I was just having a conversation with somebody about how a lot of vocalists travel with their own, and some people don't, and they just deal with whatever's in the club or the venue. Yeah. Do you travel with your own mic?
I do if it's, you know, but it's a basic microphone, the Shure SM58 yeah. that everybody uses. But that's only because sometimes they don't smell so good in places where See, we go.
That's exactly the conversation I was having. Is there, you know, in using the different mics in the studio, is there one that you used and when you listened back, it actually sounded the way your voice sounds in your own head? Because everybody sounds different to themselves than they do to other people.
You know, I just never really pay attention to what microphone. I've used so many different ones, and that started way back when I was with Atlantic Records, and I had access to a closet of microphones, and it was always about the engineer's ears. But you know, for me, it was just about it. Is it catching what it is, the essence of what I'm trying to put through in this song? You know, without, like you said, adding something EQ-wise that's not there.
Mm-hmm.
You've got a pretty nice microphone here, actually. And so I'm eyeing this and seeing if that'll fit in my guitar case.
We bring that out for the good singers.
That's really nice.
Before I let you go, I want to ask a little bit about style of music. Because as we mentioned at the top, the last three records have all been nominated in the blues category. But your earlier records almost came more from a folk music place.
Yeah.
Bluesy folk. Uh-huh. Is that still adequate, bluesy folk, or have you shifted into something else these days?
I think it was a lot to do with where Michelle wanted to take me. You know, we actually have a couple of tunes that didn't get on the record that are even more folk, more Americana. You know, I'm just kind of saving it so you can invite me back. But yeah, we did a little bit of everything. We had a lot of tunes that we went through. Some we kept and we put on the record. I just try to, because my background is folk and it is gospel, it is blues, you know, it's a blessing and a curse. I just wanted to relay a little bit more of that, the rootsy part of blues back into my record, a little more of that. And a lot of it came from just pulling my own tunes too. You know, by writing more, I did get a little more kind of tapped into the Americana, but still staying in the blues world.
Because if it's your song, it's more your voice.
Yeah.
Though you just reimagined Ring of Fire for
yeah,
us. So
I did, yeah. It's fun though. I love taking songs like that are classics, and they should be heard. And I've actually had someone told me last night what I did with Pete Seeger's Hammer. If I Had a Hammer, it was something very different too. She would have not have even really listened to that song. She's never really listened to the song, but with what I did with it was turn it on its ear and did something different with it. You know, that's kind of my way of reintroducing the song to people who don't even listen to blues or even Americana or even country, and introducing it to them. Even, you know, the next generation who probably won't even know anything about these songs.
Yeah. There's definitely something that happens with familiarity where you don't pay attention to things when you're familiar with them.
Yeah.
You only notice them when they change.
Right.
Right? Like if a vase at your house has moved all of a sudden, you notice it, but you didn't look at it any of the previous days. It's
uh-huh.
just change that you notice. So in doing a song like that everyone has heard and might even hum along with subconsciously, mm-hmm. changing it all of a sudden makes people start to pay attention.
Yeah, and that's what it does for me. And I will continue to do that. You know, try to, you know, not to turn something into a polka. Nothing against polka. I love polka. But, you know, I do have fun with songs that I know and I have grown up with. It's just my way of putting something new to it and something special and being able to, you know, give that to my my crowd.
Will you play us one more?
Yeah. You need me to give you one? I have no idea what it might be, but I have a feeling it's going to be something off the new CD. Maybe My Kind of Lover.
Wanna be my kind of lover, yeah. You wanna make a happy home. You wanna be my kind of lover, yeah. And never ever have to roam. Nevermore would there be fussing and fighting. Nevermore would you feel all alone if you were mine. Oh my. skipping in and out and down and all around. They're just gambling their good love away, yeah. Oh, but I'm here to say that's no way for me. There's more to my love if you really wanna be. You can count on me and my righteous affection. You wanna be mine, oh my. Yeah, you wanna be my kind of lover, baby. You wanna be my kind of lover, baby. You wanna be my kind of lover, baby.
That is My Kind of Lover. It's Ruthie Foster live here on Jefferson Public Radio, one of the many originals on the new record out called Promise of a Brand New Day. It's out on Blue Corn Music. Information at ruthiefoster.com. I got to say, I'm going to challenge you on this.
Uh-oh.
You really sing better without the guitar? Because that was pretty... because that was kind of monster singing and playing all at the same time. I'm questioning the decision to have you put your guitar down in the studio.
Well, let's just say that takes a lot more concentration. I'm going to need a nap after that. So,
it has been an absolute joy to have you, and thank you very much for visiting with us.
Thank you. Thanks for having me, Eric. This has been fun.
Open Air continues right after this.